Welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I'm Coach Val, a wife, empty nester mom, and executive level professional. I picked up running later in life as a way to burn off excess energy after moving to a plant-based diet in 2017, running my first marathon at age 47 and entirely fueled by plants. Now, I help other driven women to achieve their own running goals while starting or refining their plant-based way of eating. We all have busy lives, so this podcast is here to break it all down in easy, everyday, stress-free language that delivers the practical tips you need to power your runs and inspire your mind. Whether you love the discipline of training for races or simply running for fitness, you'll find everything you need to run your best life on carbs right here. So in keeping with my promise of efficiency, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I am your host, Coach Val, and welcome to episode 3 of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about some of my favorite plant-based pantry essentials. So I have a long list. However, I am not going to share my long list on the podcast because that would be a very long and probably boring episode. So I would like to make this an interesting episode. So instead, I am offering my full list of 40 plant-based essentials on a download that's a free download. You can get the link in the show notes. Just go there, get the email and download the document. And get the list of 40 different plant-based pantry essentials that I actually use in my own kitchen on a regular basis. Pretty much everything on that list is always in my kitchen, 100%. So anyway, go there, download the full list. But today I'm just going to talk about 6 of them that are my absolute top favorites that I use on all the time that are really unique to a plant-based kitchen for the most part. Before I went plant-based, most of these things I didn't even know about, and I certainly didn't have in my kitchen. But now that I am plant-based and have been for so long, they're items that I just simply can't live without and that I consume on a regular basis. So I thought you all might be very interested in hearing what those are, because maybe they're things that you have not used yet or that you know about but maybe haven't tried. So I wanted to share my top 6 plant-based essentials that you can keep in your pantry to have on hand at all times. So it's really in no particular order, just in the order that I felt like writing them down. But their first one that I want to talk about, and forgive me if you hear packaging rumbling, but I brought them here into my studio so that I could read off some of the information on the label and give you some interesting tidbits. So there's the package. Sorry, it's loud. Okay, the first one that I'm going to share. And by the way, if you are watching this on YouTube, you can see, I'll hold it up and you can see what the packaging looks like. So you could always listen to these podcasts either on your favorite podcast streaming service, or you can jump over to YouTube and watch the video. Today, it's just me. There's no slides, but I am going to show a couple of the packaging of items that I'm going to talk about. Okay, so enough of that. So the first one is Butler Soy Curls. Butler Soy Curls are one of my favorite go-to protein sources in my diet. And they are so fantastic because they're just one ingredient, soy. They're soybeans. That's it. So they're dehydrated soybeans. You rehydrate them before you cook them. Although there are so many recipes that I have that I don't even have to rehydrate them. I just toss them into whatever I'm cooking and then they rehydrate within that. But the nice thing about soy curls is that they soak up whatever flavoring that you are using in your recipe. So for example, if I'm going to toss them into a chili, they're going to pick up the flavor of all of the spices that I'm putting in the chili to begin with. a really, really easy recipe for like weeknights, or if you have kids or even just yourself and you just need something simple on a weeknight, is if you have a good barbecue sauce that is store-bought that you just like already, that has maybe minimal ingredients, dump that into a pot, add the soy curls. You don't even have to hydrate the soy curls. You could just put them in dry, maybe add a little bit of water to rehydrate them during cooking, and then just cook them up until the soy curls are soft, and then put that on bread or a bun or something. And then I like to add a veggie slaw that I get from Sprouts, which is a local grocery store here. And then that makes a wonderful sandwich, lunch, dinner, whatever. It's so easy. So anyway, soy curls are a big one, major staple of my diet. They're about, let's see, the nutrition facts. 120 calories of 3/4 cup dry. By the way, that's plenty for a serving. And of course, there's no cholesterol because they're soybeans. There's 8 carbohydrates, 6 grams of fiber, and 11 grams of protein. 46 milligrams of calcium. There's 2 milligrams of iron. And potassium, there's 516 milligrams. So, I mean, they're soy curls, right? Fat, there's 5 grams of fat. So, or they're soybeans, I should say. Anyway, Butler soy curls, really super simple. I get them on Amazon. You can also order them directly from the manufacturer. They're US-based, and they are whole non-GMO soybeans. That's what's in the package. So that's number one. The second item is also, the second pantry item is also a protein source. And this one's a little more unique, but when I was not plant-based, I liked to eat tuna, canned tuna. When I was coming back from having a baby, one of the ways that I lost weight at that time was to really focus on just, you know, fish. If you've listened to my previous episodes, you know that I used to eat a lot of fish. So anyway, I would eat canned tuna almost daily for lunches. So, you know, I liked tuna, but I obviously don't want to eat it now. So I found this item on Amazon called Tuno, although they have it at Sprouts also. So Sprouts has it just in the canned tuna aisle. So if you are looking in your own grocery store, you might look in the canned tuna aisle and look for something called Tuno. And it's from the manufacturer Loma Linda. Loma Linda or Lindo? Can't read that very well here. Linda. Loma Linda. So this is soy, textured soy protein. So it's not a whole food. So if you're really trying to follow a whole food diet, this probably won't be on in your pantry staples. But I'm not, I mean, I follow a whole food diet mostly, but not entirely. So for me, it works out great. It's a textured soy protein, water, sea salt, yeast extract, seaweed powder, potassium chloride, and a DHA algae oil. That's it. So not a lot of ingredients. So for me, I thought it was fantastic. And I put it on sandwiches. I put it together like a tuna salad and put it over romaine lettuce. I've also made a tuna casserole. So with noodles, and then I found a vegan source for, it's a powder that you can mix and make a cream of mushroom soup from. So toss in some peas, you got yourself a tuna casserole without tuna. So anyway, it's 90 calories for a can, which is your normal size can. What is this? A 5-ounce can. Half a gram of fat, 470 milligrams of salt. So there is salt in there. So if you've got to be okay with that. And then there's 16 grams of protein and only 5 grams of carbs. So anyway, it's a good breakdown. And it's a really great protein source. And like I said, if you liked tuna, then tuna is a really good replacement for that. The next item on my list is not a it's not a canned item or anything, and I don't have a picture of it, or I don't have it in front of me, but it's garbanzo bean flour. Garbanzo bean flour is so versatile, and you can use it in so many things. What I like to use it for mostly is I make garbanzo bean flour or chickpea flour also. It's known as both things. I make these big waffles, Belgian waffles. So I have a Belgian waffle maker. I mix up the batter, super simple batter. It's garbanzo bean flour, water, baking powder, and seasonings. Mix that up into a batter and put it in the waffle maker, and it makes these really great savory waffles. Well, depending on your seasonings. So I use an oregano, basil, garlic seasoning that's like a mix that I got at Marshall's one day. And I have a couple different seasoning mixes that I can use. So hopefully maybe you have something like that in your pantry too already that you could just toss in, or you know what a good mix is. Maybe you have some Italian seasoning mix already. That would make a good one too. So whatever seasonings you want, toss it in, straight into the batter, put it into the waffle maker, makes these great waffles. And then what I do with those is just top them with sauteed veggies, maybe some tofu, maybe some soy curls, just some sort of other protein source to give it some substance. And then drizzle it with some tahini, something like that. It's fantastic. I love it. I think I'm going to have to make that for my next meal prep next week, because I haven't had those for a while and it sounds really good right now. By the way, before I recorded this, I recorded this episode previously and it came out really kind of blah. So I decided to re-record it after I ate lunch. So lunch is important. Food for fuel is very important. And I discovered that when you want to record a podcast, you must be fueled. Just like when you run, you must be fueled. So I am well fueled now, so I can continue on with my podcast. Okay, so the next thing I have are, it's actually a combination of things. So it's two spices that I really, really like that you also need to have in a plant-based kitchen, because you're going to run across these in recipes all the time. One, and you probably don't have it in your pantry now. And if you do, I'd be really interested to know why you have it in your pantry when you're not plant-based yet. But if you're plant-based, you might already have it too. So I think I covered all the bases in that just now. Okay, so black salt and smoked paprika, both very important for a number of recipes. Black salt stinks horribly, just so you know. It smells like sulfur, and that's on purpose. Well, I don't know if it's on purpose, but that's how you use it. It's like a sulfur. So what black salt does is when you add it to a recipe, it gives it that egg flavor without the egg. So I like to put that together in a combination of seasonings that I flavor tofu with. And then you make a tofu scramble that is like an egg scramble, but it's tofu. So black salt, key. And you can use that in a number of different recipes. Anything that you would like to have kind of an egg flavor in, you would use black salt. But a little goes a long way. So in my recipes, I use no more than a quarter teaspoon. Sometimes less than that, just depends on how big the serving is, or you know, how much I'm making, but somewhere between a quarter or an eighth and a quarter teaspoon is all you really need. And the second one that I mentioned is smoked paprika. This is different than straight up paprika. It tastes very, very different, and it changes the flavor of your recipes that you're making. It really enhances it and it gives it sort of that underlying smoky flavor. Where I noticed smoked paprika made the biggest difference. I mean, I use it on everything. So like the garbanzo bean flour, the waffles I was just talking about, along with the tahini, I'll usually sprinkle a bit of smoked paprika on top of that too. Oh, it's so good. Like I said, I've got to make that next week. That's my meal next week. So smoked paprika in my vegan cheese sauce. So I make a vegan cheese sauce that you use potatoes, carrots, and onions as your sort of base vegetables in it. And then you use seasonings to create the cheesy flavor. And smoked paprika is one of them. And it just adds a real depth to it. By the way, the trick to that cheese sauce is using a teaspoon of tamari. So the tamari gives it that bit of umami flavor to the cheese. You need that just to give it the depth. So otherwise it's a little flat. So between the combination of seasonings, the tamari, the smoked paprika, all of that gives your recipe depth. So black salt and smoked paprika are my favorite seasonings. The next one is still a seasoning, but it's a little bit different. And I do have that package. So if you're watching the video, this is a key to not only flavor, but also to some micronutrients that you might be missing or that are hard to get on a plant-based diet. So it's dulse flakes. Where's my camera? Here we go. So dulse flakes, I get these again on Amazon. There are probably other places, but it's easy to shop on Amazon. I'm sorry, guys, but it's just easy. So dulse flakes, these are organic dulse flakes. They are made with, this one is made with red seaweed. I don't know if all dulse flakes are made with red seaweed, but this one is, and all that's in it is just organic dulse. But it has, you know, one key in the micro ingredient that's so important in dulse is iodine. And if you're not, or if you're avoiding salt or limiting salt, you might not be getting the iodine that you need. And a lot of non-plant-based people will get their iodine through dairy sources because of the iodine that they use on the udders of the cows that'll leach into the milk. And you have, you know, there's iodine sources in there. But if you're not drinking milk or eating dairy products, then you're not getting that pass-through iodine. And otherwise, it can be kind of hard to get in the diet, especially if you're not going to use iodized salt. I use a little bit of both. I don't eat a lot of salt, but I'll add it to recipes. But I do eat a lot of dulse flakes. So that is where I get most of my, personally, that's where I get most of my iodine from. I try not to take a supplement for it if I can help it. I'd rather get it from my food. But the dulse flakes, what they do is they give your food an ocean flavor. I hate to use the word fish flavor because that just doesn't sound appetizing. So it gives it an ocean flavor. So I will add this to the tuna when I make a tuna salad or something with tuna. It just gives it a little extra. It's not necessary, but why not? I'm getting my iodine and my and it adds to the flavor. So I use it there. Where else do you use it? Dulse flakes. I make a no fish sushi bowl where I use frozen edamame, frozen shelled edamame over rice. And this gives it that ocean flavor. So that's how you get the ocean flavor to your no fish sushi bowl. How much iodine is in here? So it's 675 micrograms of iodine in a tablespoon of this, of dulse flakes. That's a lot. But I use in a bowl, the sushi bowl that I was just talking about, I'll use 2 teaspoons of dulse flakes in there. So if you're using it every day or if you're using it maybe in different recipes throughout the day, you could also toss this in any stews that you have because the flavor will get absorbed if it's a more powerful flavor like a chili or something. You probably wouldn't even notice the flavor, but you'll still get the benefits from it. So there's lots of different ways that you can use this. It's not as strong as spirulina. If you're familiar with spirulina, I couldn't stomach spirulina. I mean, I suppose you can add that to your pantry essentials list, but I can't do it. It's too strong. So I haven't found a way to hide it. And I'm not a big smoothie person. So, and spirulina has been kind of controversial depending on what you listen to. So I don't know, that's a little sidebar there on spirulina, but I'd rather use dulse flakes. It works for me. It's not as strong as spirulina. It doesn't color your food. The only thing is that if you're going to eat this when you're at work or you have a meeting, check your teeth before you go and smile at somebody because they're little flakes. So check your teeth. Make sure you don't have little flakes in your teeth. But good stuff. Okay, so last one I have on my list of my 40, but I'm not covering 40. The last one I've got is flavored balsamic vinegar. And I don't mean the cheap stuff that you get from the grocery store. So, okay, so this is going to be a little splurge. The vinegar that I buy is not on sale. It's $20 a bottle. So it's not cheap. But you use a small amount, so a little goes a long way. But so you really want to get a high quality balsamic vinegar. And again, this is one of those staple items I use nearly every day. And there, I mean, I don't have the studies to show right now, but there are lots of studies that show that vinegar is very helpful with blood sugar control. So if you're going to take a little bit of vinegar in with each meal, there's some blood sugar control in there with that addition. Again, I'm not a doctor or scientist. These are just things that I have heard through other doctor scientist sources. But the flavored balsamic vinegar, my suggestion is to get a dark and a light, and you may end up getting addicted. They know me at the vinegar store. Like they see me come in and they're like, oh, hi again. Are you here to get your regular? I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you. So they know me at the vinegar store, but that's okay. There's worse places to be known. I love the, so I have a combination of both white and dark. I started off with the dark fig balsamic vinegar. I had got it for a gift one year and I was hooked. So fig is fantastic, but there's so many different flavors. You just have to kind of go, and if you have a vinegar store, you know, quality vinegar store near you, I highly recommend that you just go and test them out and try different flavors if you can. If you can't, then you could always order online. This is one of those that I do not buy from Amazon. I buy direct from the source of the vinegar. So like I said, I'll go to the store, or they also have a website. So I'll go to the website. The one that I love the most is Olive and Baker. Or is it Baker and Olive? I think it's Olive and Baker. If it's not Baker and Olive. So one of those, if you want to look it up, try that. Otherwise, I'll try to remember and I'll put the link in the show notes because they'll ship anywhere, in at least in the United States that I know of. So sometimes if they're out of flavors at the store, then I'll just go to the website and have them shipped to my house. But the white vinegars are really great for salad dressings. So that's where I use the white ones the most. There's a couple of my favorite, like the lemongrass. Oh, what was it? Lemongrass mint. Oh, that's so good, especially during the summertime, to just put on your side salad with your meal. And then the dark vinegars are really great. I use a cinnamon pear on my steamed beets in the morning. So before I do a workout, my pre-workout meal is a cup of steamed red beets that I do in the Instant Pot. And then I put the dark balsamic on that. Super, super yummy. Get my, you know, beet power in me before I go do a workout. And then the white balsamic, I will use the, like I said, the lemongrass mint vinegar on salad dressings, but I also use a Sicilian lemon every single day. And I put that on steamed kale in the morning. So I try to get my greens in the morning every day. So I always have steamed kale, put my little vinegar on it, 2 teaspoons, boom, got my greens, got my vinegar, good for the day. So anyway, those are my favorite balsamics. So, all right, So that is my list of six favorite plant-based My favorite plant-based pantry essentials. That is so much easier to write than it is to say. So, all right, I made it through. Now, please go download the list, have all 40 of them for yourself, and share with me in social media, you know, what else is on your list that maybe is not on my list, things that you have in your pantry as a plant-based person that maybe haven't made it to my list that I need. So I'm always open to new stuff. So let me know what you love also. And together we will combine and have an even larger list. So anyway, have a fantastic rest of your day. I will do the same, and I will see you on the next episode.